Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
What are you to do in the lonely time? I'm to behold God. I'm to realize that God is with me, that I don't understand all of the circumstances. And knowing God doesn't remove all of the pain, all of the difficulties. I understand that. But it gives us, as it gave Paul, that mighty assurance that the Lord is with me, that the Lord will bring me through this.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In recent years, many people have suffered from the pain of loneliness. Loneliness in isolation, or loneliness from finding it difficult to connect with others. So today on The Verdict, we're seeking the biblical perspective on this pervasive issue as we continue our series called With Wings Like Eagles. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
In our series on With Wings Like Eagles, we've thought of all kinds of subjects and tough situations. How are we to cope? I've called today's message, All the Lonely People. That's a line from a Beatles song, but let's consider the subject of loneliness from a biblical perspective. Being one of six boys, I can't say I've experienced much loneliness. In fact, I enjoy being alone from time to time. But there is a difference between choosing to be alone and being lonely. Some of you know loneliness firsthand, particularly since COVID. The loneliness of isolation, loneliness from the death of a loved one, or perhaps you find it difficult connecting with people or making friends. God made us in His image to relate to people. So let's learn about loneliness.
Well, I was a student at Edinburgh University, and one Christmas, I got a job with the Royal Mail. That is the mail service delivering letters. It was Christmas time, busy time, and so the Royal Mail were hiring students who were eager to make some money, as indeed I was. And my first assignment was delivering letters, and about 15 minutes into my letter route, I met for the first time an old lady. She seemed very old to me at that time, very, very old, Mrs. Ferguson. I learned that she lived alone, that she had difficulty walking. Her hands, her fingers were full of arthritis, and that it was so severe that she had difficulty putting on the gas stove to make herself a cup of tea. So about 7:15 a.m., during the 2 or 3 weeks of the Christmas break, as I was delivering letters, she had left her door open, her back door. I went into it, turned on the stove, made her a cup of tea, and then sat down, of course, with her and enjoyed my cup of tea. And I learned about Mrs. Ferguson. I was astonished to understand that she was almost alone in the world, that she lived an extremely lonely life. That was really my first encounter with a very lonely person. I was raised in a large family. I enjoyed being alone. If you have five brothers, you enjoy a time on your own. But Mrs. Ferguson was very, very different. She was a very lonely woman, dying for human companionship. She would have gladly spoke with me all morning, but I had to deliver letters, and my boss didn't want me drinking tea all morning with old ladies. But there she was, a lonely woman. Thomas Wolfe, the famous novelist, said, "Loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon peculiar to myself and a few other solitary men, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. All this hideous doubt, despair, and dark confusion of the soul, a lonely man must know, for his is united to no image save that which he creates himself." Well, while we don't accept Wolfe's theology, he is correct in saying that loneliness is far from rare. It is a common human experience. Those of you in my era will remember the Beatles singing Eleanor Rigby, "Look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? Where do all the lonely people come from?" There is the loneliness when a good friend moves away, the loneliness when a loved one dies, the loneliness of a prisoner serving time, the loneliness of a young woman whose engagement is suddenly broken, The loneliness of a boy at elementary school who is laughed at. The loneliness of a senior at high school who's not asked to the school prom. The loneliness of the wife who just can't communicate with her husband. The loneliness of a leader facing unrelenting criticism. The loneliness of the business person frequently away from home. The loneliness of the wife whose husband prefers golf or fishing or being with his friends rather than being with her. The loneliness of the athlete who is benched and who doesn't make the team. The loneliness of the immigrant coming to a foreign country and knowing no one. Loneliness comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes, doesn't it? In the 1950s, about one in every 10 households had only one person in them. These were primarily widows. But today, due to death, divorce, and deferred marriage, about one in every four households is a single-person household. Interesting, isn't it? People today are marrying less, marrying later, and staying married for shorter periods. Look at all the lonely people. Isn't it ironical that we live, we say, in this great communication age, but there's so much loneliness? Never have there been so many experts on marriage and relationships. If you go to the bookstore, whether it's a Christian bookstore or Barnes & Noble, there's a lot of books on self-help telling you how to build relationships, how to have a better marriage. And yet, with all of the supposed expertise, there's fewer and fewer, it seems to me, deep, lasting relationships. So much so that millions of people now want to chat with strangers online, presumably because many of them don't have meaningful relationships with people they know. The BBC in 2018 did a survey of 55,000 people from all over the world, and this survey revealed that loneliness levels, this is staggering, were highest among the 16 to 24-year-olds. 40% of them said they felt lonely often or very often. 16 to 24-year-olds? I was amazed when I read that statistic. How terribly, terribly sad. Many lonely people, young people, as well as old people like Mrs. Ferguson, searching for fulfilling relationships. It's not just single and shy people who experience loneliness. An increasing number of married people feel very much alone. They often feel they have no one to turn to. No one really knows them, far less understands them. Many people who are married experience the tremendous ache of loneliness, trapped in a relationship which promised so much but delivered so little. Look at all of the lonely people. Solitude is a positive experience which we all enjoy or should enjoy from time to time, but we choose solitude, but loneliness is a negative experience. I want us to turn to a chapter in the Bible, 2 Timothy, and learn about Paul when at the end of his life he knew loneliness. This may surprise you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last epistle written by Paul. He's in prison, he's about to die, and here are his last words that we have recorded in Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Our subject today is all the lonely people. We're going to see that God's people are sometimes placed in lonely circumstances. And here is a great example from Paul. Paul, who's alone in imprisonment. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. He's writing to Timothy. He says to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. He wants Timothy's company. For Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's very useful to me for ministry. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Notice verse 10, Demas has deserted me. Verse 16, but all deserted me. The word deserted here is to be abandoned, to be left in the lurch. You ever been deserted by someone, deserted by friends? This is what Paul is saying. And we see in verse 9, he wants Timothy to be with him. Demas had obviously got tired of being with Paul, this mighty evangelist. He loved the world too much, and so he had left Paul and gone back into the world. Titus himself had left Paul, verse 10. Luke was there, verse 11, and Paul wanted Mark. Mark was a defector. Mark had once fallen out. Remember the story with Barnabas and Paul, and Mark had defected, as it were. But now he wants Mark with him. And we read these strange words in verse 16, that no one supported Paul at his defense. Here is a mighty man, a great man, and he is alone at the end of his life. Some of his closest colleagues had deserted him. Yes, God's servants, God's people sometimes find themselves in lonely situations. Many of you know that. Think of the loneliness of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was betrayed, he was rejected, sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused of rape, thrown into the prison in Egypt alone. Think of the loneliness of David being pursued by Saul. Think of the loneliness of Jeremiah, who was threatened, thrown into a cistern, rejected by the very people he had come to minister. Lonely people. Now, when we're alone, we're often tempted to sin. Loneliness tends to breed self-indulgence, self-pity, where we end up feeling no one really cares for us. And in that loneliness, some people feel they don't want to face life anymore. And so when people feel abandoned, deserted, when life seems unbearable, and when people have deserted them, betrayed them, left them, some people are suicidal and in fact take their own lives. For some lonely people, the refrigerator becomes their best friend. Others, alcohol becomes their best friend. Some go to single bars, some go to clubs, some go online, looking for someone to mask their loneliness, the pain of loneliness. And sometimes that loneliness breeds all kinds of addictions, which just increases the loneliness, alienation from people, self-hatred, depression, unspeakable guilt. Some of you know the rock group Police with Sting. They sang, "Everyone I know is lonely, and God's so far away, and my heart belongs to no one, so now sometimes I pray, please take the space between us and fill it up some way." We live in a society of very, very many lonely people. What's the answer to this? Is there an answer to loneliness? I have three action points. Number one, here is the answer. Have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here is one who's promised never to desert us, never to abandon us. Yes, your closest friend may desert you. Your husband, your spouse, your parents, your children, your colleagues, all of them may desert you. That is true. But if you know the living Christ, if you have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, this I guarantee, he will never leave you, never abandon you. Think of Paul's example in prison. Paul is in prison. He's deserted. Here's a man who prefers the pleasure of the world, like Demas, to being with Saul. Paul, you think it's unimaginable. Think of all that you would learn with this great servant of God. But the love of the world was such that Demas and others deserted Paul. But Paul's faith in Christ is not shaken. He has great confidence in the Lord. Look back to verse 6. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. That's the time of his death. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Isn't that beautiful? Paul, in spite of the desertions of others, his focus is on Christ. His focus is on the eternal, is on the spiritual, is on that crown of righteousness which the Lord will award to him, not only to Paul, but to all who loved his appearance. And then verse 17, he said in verse 16, "All deserted me." Verse 17, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me." You ever had that experience? In the difficulties of life, in the loneliness of life, in the betrayals of life, that you understand that the Lord is standing by you and is strengthening you. Some of you have experienced that when you've lost a loved one, a husband, a wife, a parent, a child. And in the devastation of that loneliness, as you go to your home where your husband was or your wife was or your parent or your child, and they're not there. Or perhaps you've gone through an excruciatingly difficult divorce and your life has been turned upside down, and you go home and you wonder, how on earth can you continue? Here is the answer. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Deserted, Paul, yes, but not by the Lord. Verse 17, "The Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through my message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." I think Paul knew Isaiah 40, verse 31. "Those that wait on the Lord shall be renewed in strength." Paul is strengthened. Where does that strength come from? His inner resolve, his inner discipline. Well, Paul was a very disciplined person, a very accomplished individual, but he's saying that his strength is a spiritual one. The Lord strengthened him. The Lord stood by him as he waited on the Lord. That was similar to Joseph. Here is Joseph, a young man, probably late teens, thrown into prison, falsely accused with a terrible accusation against him. What do we read? Genesis 39, "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love." In fact, isn't it the case that in these difficult situations, when you feel that you can't go on, where you do feel alone, that you experience the love of God, his steadfast love, and the presence of God in a way that you didn't know before? So you find yourself lonely. What are you to do? Draw on the supernatural power of God. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He says in Ephesians 3, "God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works mightily within us." And Paul here is confident that the Lord is going to deliver him from every evil deed. Verse 18, he says, "I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." In his desertion, Paul is still glorifying God because he knows that God is going to bring him safely to that heavenly kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of Rome is very, very powerful and has imprisoned Paul. But Paul looks beyond Rome and looks to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and realizes that there is no power on earth, certainly not the power of Rome, that can prevent him finishing the course, receiving the crown of righteousness, and to be received into that heavenly kingdom. And he still glorifies God in prison. "To him be the glory," verse 18, "forever and ever. Amen." He knew loneliness. He knew suffering. He knew betrayal. He knew what it was for a friend to leave him because of the pleasures of the world, but he did know this. Chapter 2, verse 1, verse 12, he says, he talks about his suffering. 2 Timothy 1:12, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. His faith in God is unshakable, and this assurance grounds Paul and doesn't shake him. While other people would have been overcome by self-pity, might have abandoned their faith, might have caved in, as it were, to the power of Rome, Paul says, absolutely not. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know whom I've believed. And the gospel has been entrusted to Paul. And that assurance grounds us and strengthens us in all circumstances of life. What are you to do in the lonely time? I'm to behold God. I'm to realize that God is with me, that I don't understand all of the circumstances. And knowing God doesn't remove all of the pain, all of the difficulties. I understand that. But it gives us, as it gave Paul, that mighty assurance that the Lord is with me, the Lord will strengthen me, that the Lord will bring me through this, and that there is nothing that this world can do, or my friends can do, or my employer can do, or the world can do, that can shake my faith in Christ. So I have to ask you, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You say, John, I'm not sure what you mean. I'm in church. I've known about Jesus my whole life. I believe that he was born in Bethlehem and died on the cross. Well, I'm glad you believe these, but these are just facts. Important facts, essential facts. But the Christian life and knowing God is not just knowing about Jesus Christ. It's not just giving some intellectual assent to the various doctrines of the Christian faith. At its very core, being a Christian is knowing Christ personally. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? You see, you'll never deal with loneliness unless you know Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Struggling with the reality of loneliness, Christian friend, may that drive you to Christ.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the first half of a message titled, All the Lonely People. John will be right back with more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. Did today's message strike a chord? Perhaps you're going through some tough times right now and you're struggling to keep it all together. Well, John has written a helpful and very practical guidebook called Trusting God in Tough Times. In this booklet, John goes into greater detail than we've had time to include in these daily programs about how to overcome life's challenges. And we'd love to send you a free copy of this encouraging resource today. You can download or request the Trusting God in Tough Times booklet by going online to theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for John's monthly email so you'll be the first to know about our upcoming series and events. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work today by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give right now, visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. As a special bonus, John has added a new weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he shares his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics. For more details, just visit our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? What's been your experience of loneliness? How have you coped? What would you say to a friend who's struggling with loneliness? We've learned that the most important relationship is not with other people, but is with the living God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's always there. He never leaves us. So today, wait on the Lord and trust Him. Be renewed in strength. Mount up with wings like eagles. Next time, we'll continue with the subject of loneliness. Don't miss the broadcast.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.